Forget-Me-Not, written by Luana Lewis and read by Anna Bentinck. Prologue. The day she died. She lies crumpled at my feet. Her right arm is flung out to the side as though she's trying to reach out to me, as though she might still grab hold of me with those cherry red fingernails. She's naked beneath her dressing gown. I kneel down and try to pull the edges of her robe closer together to cover her, to give her some dignity at least. I run my fingers through the soft black strands of her hair. My hand comes away sticky with her blood. "I'm so sorry," I say. I kiss her one last time. Her sweet, fresh smell mingles with the metallic odour of death. After years of practice, I'm able to split myself in two. The part of me that acts, spliced clean apart from the part that feels. In this way, I stay quite calm while I inflict pain. And the woman that lies destroyed on the floor is not a mother or a wife or a daughter. I stand up and take a last look around this room where she died. Grey veins tear through the marble floor and slither up the walls. The taps glitter a too bright gold. The surfaces are hard, the edges sharp. I turn my back on her, and I leave her all alone. I am not really here. I never was. Chapter 1. 2 weeks later. The strange thing about D.S. Cole's questions is that I've answered most of them before. Not here, though. Not at a police station, in a cramped and windowless interview room with scuffed walls. I reach up to rub my right temple. "Are you all right, Rose?" "Another headache," I say. D.S. Cole nods as though she understands, as though she sympathizes with my pain. "Would you like a glass of water?" "No, thank you." I brace my hands against the old wooden table between us, and I cross my legs, tight. The tension helps me focus. "Please go on. I won't pass out on you, I promise." It's strange also how the tables have turned. I'm supposed to be the one on the other side of this table, the one who delivers bad news, the worst possible news, to devastated parents. But now, here I sit, and my side of this conversation is a dark place from which there is no escape. D.S. Cole speaks clearly and slowly. "I'd like you to tell me about any contact you had with Vivian in the days before she died." She waits patiently for me to begin. "The last time I saw her was on the Sunday," I say. "It was my granddaughter's 8th birthday that weekend, and Vivian had a few people over to the house, 4 or 5 of Lexi's friends from school and their parents. There was a young woman painting the children's faces, butterflies and tigers and so on, and a bouncy castle in the garden. I was at the house for around an hour and a half, I suppose." D.S. Cole is young, somewhere in her late 20s. Younger than my daughter was when she died. Sometimes, as I look at her, she reminds me of one of those figure-ground pictures they used to show us in school, the ones that don't settle, that change depending on how you're looking at them. She's an attractive young woman, with large, deep-set eyes and a peroxide blonde fringe draped low over her eyebrows. But when I look again, she's almost boyish, with razor-short back and sides and a strong, sharp-angled jaw. Her body, too, won't be pinned down one way or another. She's slim and flat-chested inside her tailored shirt, her coat hanger shoulders narrowing down to small hips. "When you think back to that day," she goes on, "did you notice anything unusual? Anything that might have pointed to the fact that Vivian was unhappy?"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?